And you're very welcome to our bonus mini episode on renewable energy on the 180 Degrees podcast series. I'm Sinead Ryan, the host, and I am delighted to be joined by Margie McCarthy, who is Director of Research and Policy Insights at SEAI. Now, Margie, here we go with some of the questions that regularly come in on the issue of renewables from the general public. So the first one for you. I hear a lot about wind and solar development in Ireland, but what are the other renewable energy sources available right now, and what do they contribute to the grid?
So it's kind of an interesting question, actually, because we do always think of renewable energy and the grid. And that's because we have been mostly successful in getting a renewable share onto our electricity grid, more so than we have been in any other sector. So it does actually break down between electricity, heat and transport. In electricity, yes, wind and solar are the major contributors. We should nod the cap to hydropower. In years past, hydropower was a major contributor as well of renewables. When I say major, probably small numbers, but it was one of our biggest contributors. We've exploited most of that now, so it probably won't have as big an impact as we move forward. But then when you look at heat, it'll be leaning into electricity with heat pumps and ambient, you know, so air heat pumps and ground source heat pumps. But also bioenergy will play a role in heat.
When you say bioenergy, what is that then?
So there are aspects of heat. If you think about heat, it breaks down into how we heat our rooms, so space heating, whether it's in an office or whether it's at home, and then also heating water. And they're only to a certain temperature, and a lot of that can be provided through heat pumps and maybe some biomass in some circumstances. That would be kind of burning wood chips and that type of thing. When you get into industrial heat, so that's where you have maybe pharmaceuticals or a process whereby you need a very, very high heat. You have bioenergies like biofuels, which is basically most of our bioenergy is using waste from food, from vegetable oils, from composting, from all types of waste, wood chippings, and converting it in some way to a bioenergy fuel that could be a bioliquid or a biogas, for example.
Okay, good. So lots, really a bigger range than maybe most people would have thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I've recently switched to a new energy provider. How green is their green energy on offer? Now, Margie, we do see this. The companies are climbing over themselves to tell us how renewable and green and 100% everything is. What can we believe?
So we know that our electricity share in Ireland is about 40% renewable. So we aren't 100% renewable on the electricity that's generated and distributed in the Republic of Ireland. But we do have as part of being a member of the EU, a trading scheme where you can buy green certificates. They're known as guarantees of origin. And what they do is they allow your supplier, so the person you pay for your electricity bill in Ireland, to be able to buy some green certificates or GOs from other countries. So the electricity is generated and distributed in another country. But what the supplier to you in Ireland is giving you is a guarantee that the total demand that's being supplied to you is a green supply. It's just not necessarily generated.
So it's somebody else's surplus that is coming our way. So
yeah.
So overall, it's green. It's just not all Irish green. Is that it?
Absolutely. And as we know, our ambition is to achieve 80% renewable electricity by 2030. So that share will begin to diminish down, and we'll have more and more of it physically generated and distributed.
And sure, maybe
Ireland.
One day we'll be supplying it to the other nations.
Absolutely.
In terms of green certificates. All right. Now, we have a business owner who said, I own a large business and we're interested in installing solar PV to generate our own electricity. I understand the planning laws around this are complicated. Where do I start? Now, we do hear a lot about, you know, the issue with domestic houses, and there's like if you use so much of your roof space for solar panels, you don't need planning, and then you do for over that. How does it work in industry then?
So that's actually a really timely question because SEAI just back in October opened the single point of contact for renewable projects planning and consenting. So anyone who wants to check that out can go into SEAI, just Google SEAI single point of contact and they'll find it. But essentially what that has is details on all of the licensing and permitting that's required around renewable technologies. But in it, there is a finder tool. So you can go in and you can say, what what kind of developer are you? Are you a small community? Are you a large industry member? The next question is, what kind of technology are you trying to deploy? So solar, there will be all other kinds of technologies that you can take in there. Then what kind of outage? So what kind of power do you expect to be able to generate from it? And then it asks you what construction stage you're in. Are you in planning and design? Are you building it? Or maybe you're, you know, repowering
retrofitting,
it.
Yeah,
exactly. And what that does is it gives you a full listing then of the various permits and licenses that are required for your process.
It's a pathway.
Exactly. Good. It points you in the direction of where you need to go, who do you need to talk to, what are the decision makers in the planning system that are applicable to your technology.
Well, that's great because, I mean, we have that with several providers in the domestic market with the one-stop shop, you know, and people then don't have to do all of the legwork by themselves. You know, they can be guided in a particular way. And of course, it's a good thing to do that if you're availing of any of the grants that are there. Absolutely. So you get it in advance. Okay. Now, Margie, the last question then is this is the hard one, I think. How is planning progressing on offshore wind toward hitting our 2030 targets?
Yeah, so offshore wind, we have significant targets. We have a sea area that's about seven times the size of our landmass. So and they don't call it the Wild Atlantic Way for nothing. And there is a significant amount of energy to harness out there. But we had, and I suppose, a slower system recently in trying to get things through planning and understanding where do I go to for what questions, what consenting, what environmental studies. And so an awful lot has been done to try and consolidate that under the Maritime Area Planning Act. It's set up an authority called MARA, and MARA has consolidated all of those planning decisions and consenting decisions. So it's kind of like a one-stop shop for that part of it.
Will it make it a little bit quicker then to get these projects through?
Well, the aim is that all of these actions will accelerate it. Similarly, we've had recent auctions where developers now know what sites will go ahead. There's an awful lot of work going towards having a plan-led system as well. So if you think about on land, we tend to have, you know, local area plans where this area is residential, this will be, you know, commercial, this is a green area. So what we have to do is we have to try and look at our ocean area and be considerate in that way as well. So what's an amenity area, what's a working area, what's a potential for renewable energy, taking on board all of the wonderful life that lives in the ocean as well that we have to work with and protect in all of this.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of common sense. And as you say, the sea mass is so much greater than our land mass. We sometimes just forget how powerful it really is and the resources that we have. Okay, Margie McCarthy, thank you very much for that quick hit. And if you'd like to listen back to the full episode on renewables, which is episode 6 of the 180 Degrees podcast, well, look, why don't you like and subscribe right now? And it means you're not going to miss any of the episodes or any of the fantastic expert guests that we have on in the weeks past and indeed in the weeks to come. It's been lovely having your company. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.